always wanted to whistle like whoever just whistled, whoever that was. Yeah, I like that. I wish I could do that. I can't. It's good to be with you tonight. It's always good to be with the family of God. And Dad was just talking about working parts. And there are a lot of working parts. There's a lot of things happening. You know, when you start at an organization, at a job, and you begin to get involved, you begin to understand how much happens throughout a day and throughout a week. And I want to just say thank you to all those who make it possible, not just myself, but so many here that serve and diligently love the Lord, really. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Can you give me a little bit up front here, Benny, that really love the Lord and are just committed to his purposes? And I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for the leadership of this house, Chuck and Cheryl Vendetti, that have been here for many years tonight. Right over on the side here, just been an encouragement and a support to me. And also Chuck and Linda Wood. Grandpa Chuck is home, thank God, amen. And I got to go see him when they got home. They actually, and I don't want Graham to get mad at me, but I need to say this to you, because we need to know that there's an enemy. And that he wants our lives. He doesn't just want a piece. He wants it all. They were on the way home from the hospital, and they got in another car accident, and totaled that car on the way home. And if you don't believe that the enemy wants their life, and that he doesn't want your life too, and I'm not up here trying to scare anybody, but there is a devil in hell. That his purposes and his plan, number one, is to discourage you. And this has nothing to do with what I'm going to preach about tonight. He wants to discourage you. He wants you depressed. He wants you filled with anxiety. He wants you filled with doubt. And he wants to drive you into a place, not only spiritually, but mentally and physically, where you can't operate in the things of God. Because when you can't operate in what God's called you to do, You can't bring people. My dad preached about heaven on Sunday. He preached about the gift of heaven. He preached about the gift of leveraging what God has called you to, even as a vocation, to his glory. And if the enemy can get in your mind, if he can get in your soul, and he can get in your spirit, where you start to say things like this, is it even worth it? Have you ever been there before? Why did I even do this? Why did I even get involved in this? Those are tricks. Those are schemes of the enemy. I'm talking to somebody right now. I felt it through the Holy Spirit right in the middle of worship. You are called to a significant work. You are called to a people. You are called to a place. You are called to a category. And God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And you got to be very careful the voices that you listen to. I'm not just talking about in a physical sense, although that's true. But the enemy, he would love to just sow seeds into your spirit that you begin to believe things that aren't even true. You ever been there before? You begin to believe that you could never overcome your issue. You begin to believe that you don't have a future. You begin to believe that you'll never get. You begin to believe that you'll never find a spouse. And that's exactly what the enemy wants for you. Not just for the people who serve. Not just for the elders. Not just for the pastor. But for each one in this place. If he can keep you in a place where you're stuck in a rut of just spinning your tires, and you're in a mental place where you can't be effective, that's just where he wants you. And I want to tell you tonight, before I go any further, he'll use people to sow that into your spirit, purposefully and even on accident. People will attempt to sow into your spirit, was it even worth what I said and what I did? And I want to sow into you. I want to debunk that right now by the power of God in here. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost up in here so strong tonight. I want to debunk that tonight and tell you, you're called to a purpose. You're called to a destiny. You're called to such a time as this. And I rebuke the spirit of depression in this place. I rebuke the spirit of doubt in this place in Jesus' name. And I speak a life. I speak calling. I speak purpose into your heart and into your life tonight. And if you receive that, just lift your hand and say, I receive that word from heaven tonight. That was a prophetic word for someone in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, thank you for it. And that word you spoke over Kai, as I begin to pray tonight, even before the service started, I spoke almost the exact same words over him. So you have to believe, I'm going to get right into it, you have to believe that God's still speaking. You have to believe that when you stand at the kitchen sink and you look out the window and you feel an impression from heaven, that it's not just a feeling, it's not just the sandwich that you ate, but it's God laying an impression on your heart and on your spirit to say you can go forward. I want you to turn tonight to Jeremiah chapter 1. And if you don't think God was speaking tonight, I want to just bring you to a memory of a few minutes ago. My dad said, before you were born, he said to Malachi, and that's what this word says in verse 4. It says, the word of the Lord came to me. It came to me. The word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah said. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. I want to read it again because I wanted to just leave an impression on your spirit tonight through the workings of the Holy Spirit. It says, the word of the Lord came to me. And if you want a word from the Lord tonight, you just say, be it unto me according to thy word. And I believe tonight that he will sow a word into your spirit. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. And that's not just true for Jeremiah. That's true for each person in here. If you name the name of Jesus, if you call Jesus your Lord and Savior, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, he came to earth to die, if you believe there's a home in heaven for you, that word is for your life, it is for your spouse, it is for your children, it is for your children's children. If they name the name of Jesus, you're sanctified. Every person within the sound of my voice tonight, you are sanctified. I was in the middle of worship, and I was just, man, I felt God so strongly in here tonight. And I thought about people that have been called and sanctified to ministry here for almost 20 years. I looked up on the stage, and Deb, you were sitting up there, and you just with a joyful attitude, just with a heart of a servant, you're sitting there playing that piano, and I've watched you. I've seen it for 20 years, and you can't do that if you don't grasp the realization that you're called. You're called. You're treasured. You are valued. You are important. This message is not for me. It's for you. You need to know tonight that you are treasured, that you are important. When I get done tonight, there will be people that walk up to me and say, man, that was such a great message, Amy. That was such a great word. But the realization that God, you are treasured to God needs to be a realization in your own heart. And I believe that we border when we say things like, it's great for him, and I'm going to continue to speak and preach on this because I feel it so strongly in my spirit. It's great that it's for the person that you see ministry, but you got to know that it's for you. You got to know it's for your family. You got to know it's for your children, that you're called to a purpose. I see massive potential. During the week, I get to hang with people. Last night, we had a men's meeting at the house. We had 40-some guys in person, and we had another 10 on the Zoom out in the barn. And you look around the room and you see this massive potential within people, this great treasured value within people. And you look around the room and you see how people walk in. You see how people are weighed. You see how people are dragging just from life circumstances and issues and problems. But through it all, you can see this massive potential within people. I think oftentimes that we don't understand it's for us. We call it humility, when in reality, oftentimes it is a spirit of intimidation. It is a spirit of fear that causes us to feel unimportant and makes us feel devalued. We feel insignificance, almost believing that we've traveled too far for God to lay his hand on us in a particular way. Oh, I know I'm preaching tonight. God has something significant for you and I. You are treasured. You are valued. Let me say that again. If he said it for Jeremiah and it's his inspired word, that means the word of God was not only for Jeremiah, but it's for each one in this place. You are treasured. If you're ready to receive this, lift your hand to heaven tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that as we minister tonight, Father, that your Holy Spirit would fall in this place and you'd change outlooks. You'd change history. And Father, we'll give you the glory for it. We'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, would you say amen? We have to believe, number one, we have to believe that God's still speaking. We got to believe that. We can't just believe that he spoke at one time and he performed miracles during a season. And that was great for them. But today, I'm not sure. You have to believe that the word of the Lord is being spoken in this season for your life. When I was a kid, I told the Lord many times, I began to lead worship when I was 14, a couple years younger than Kai, actually about a year older than my son Ryan, wherever he is hiding. He's up there. And I specifically remember telling the Lord, I'll lead worship, but I'll never serve the work of the ministry. Never. I don't want anything to do with preaching. I really don't want anything to do with church people. They're kind of stuffy. You know, it's a lot of old people. You know, I just don't want to be around it. You ever said that to God? I just don't want to be one of those church guys. I don't want to be one of those crazy, kooky church people. I remember telling the Lord, I don't want to be anything like that. I don't want to be around it. I don't want to engage. I'll sing a couple songs. I will. I'll sing a couple songs because there's no one else here and I love my dad. But I don't want anything to do. I don't want to engage in that. And I begin to feel the Lord prick my heart. Say, I called you. I sanctified you. He began to speak to me. And I did what so many, and I believe that some in here have done, just said, not for me, God. And I'm not just talking about vocational ministry. I'm talking, maybe God has called you to just bring men to a Wednesday night. Maybe God has called you to celebrate recovery on Tuesday night from 5:30 on. Maybe he's just called you to a certain sector of ministry, and you've heard the word of the Lord. He's pricked your heart, pricked your spirit, but you just said, no, I can't do that. But we have to be so sensitive to hear the voice of the Lord. And let me explain it to you this way. I've heard people say, well, you need to go to class about how to hear the voice of the Lord. You need to sit through our class on how to hear God's voice. Let me say it to you this way. I know my mom when she calls me. When my mother calls me in the morning, and she's real spunky in the morning, let me tell you. And I'm kind of the couch guy in the morning till about 8 o'clock with my coffee. Any of those people with a coffee in the morning? I need a little coffee in the morning. My mom calls me, and I know my mother's voice. And here's my encouragement to you tonight. You need to know the voice of the Father. When we talk about the Bible reading plans, when we talk about time and prayer, when we talk about church services, you learn the voice of the Lord in those times. You learn the voice of the Lord even at a food giveaway. I can't remember. It really bothered me that I couldn't remember this. But there was a woman. I know it was a woman. I remember specifically middle-aged woman that when we were giving the food away, she said, "This just pricks my heart. I love to do this. There's nothing more that I love to do than to bless someone by giving food, by giving something to them. That's a prick from the voice of the Lord. I don't mind doing it. I like doing it. But I don't have that passion. I don't have that longing. I don't have that drawing to, hey, let me give somebody some food." That's a calling. You got to be careful to pay attention to that. Another way he'll speak to you, and I'm going to give you 4 points, and then I'm going to move on. But I want to set this up with the voice of the Lord. He'll speak to you through services. He'll speak to you through your pastor. Dad began to minister up here tonight. He began to say certain things. You have to pay very close attention when someone walks into an anointing, walks into a glory, to Holy Spirit power and begins to speak. I can tell you from experience, things that I've said on this stage, things that I've said as I minister, I don't even know what they mean half the time. And I'll have people walk up to me afterwards and go, "Man, that was just for me." You have to be very careful not to miss opportunities to hear the voice of the Father. This whole service tonight could have just been for Kai. To hear the voice of the Lord. To hear this is an assignment. This is a task. This is a calling that you have. And you're going to go through a season. The voice of the Lord spoke tonight in the service. God will speak through mentors. God will speak to people through people that have experienced things that you haven't experienced and that they can share with you about what you want to walk into. Mentors are important. He'll speak through circumstances. I talked about the food giveaway. I love ministry. I've always loved being around the church. Hearing God's voice is one of the most important things that we can do as we minister. He puts a dream in you as he speaks to you. I hope that you'll get this tonight. As he speaks to you, he sows a dream into you. My dream was to be a business person and to be rich and to have all kinds of things and to be impressive with my business savvy. And as I begin to do that, as I begin to walk down that road, because that was my dream, that's what I wanted for my life, and all of a sudden I felt this great discouragement because I knew it was my dream, it wasn't God's dream. When God begins to speak to you, he won't speak to you your dream. See, a lot of men, they have a dream for a woman. They have a dream for a certain thing. And then all of a sudden, you'll see this breakaway. You'll see this detachment. And all of a sudden, God brings this other person on because you prayed, "God, send me a wife. God, send me a husband." And all of a sudden, he begins to arrange his chips, not your chips. We have to be very careful that we're walking in God's dream for our life, not our own dream. And again, I want to say this to you. I'm not saying that every person in here is called to vocational ministry, but I am saying every person in this place is called to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My dad just talked about it. When you crack heaven's door, hey, man, look at so-and-so that came with you. Look at sister so-and-so that came with you. All these people following along with you. Meeting you at those 12 pillars that we talked about. And there because you snatched them from the fire. Whew. You got to hear God's voice. Amen. The first thing he says in verse 4 that I want to grab, and this is point one, the word of the Lord came to me. You need a word for your life. You don't need your word for your life. You don't need your word for a situation. You don't need your word for a situation. Well, I got this issue, I got this problem, and this is how I think we should fix it. We don't need our word for a situation. We need his word. The word of the Lord came to me, and I can show you all through the New Testament, and we don't have time for it tonight, where the word of the Lord came to a situation and changed history. A person's word messed it all up. A person's word brought discouragement, brought a crying out unto the Lord. What do I do? Where do I go? How do I handle this? And all of a sudden, isn't it true? Then we go to God and say, I need your help. What if we got a word from the Lord right off the bat? The word of the Lord came to me. And there is a word for your life. I know this is hard to believe if you're in your 40s, if you're in your 50s, if you're in your 60s tonight, you're in your 70s. I know it's hard to believe that right now that God could speak to you in a way that could be life transforming. I know it's hard to believe. Ryan, I've walked this whole journey. I've done it this way for so long. You're telling me now that a word from the Lord can come to me and change the destiny, the trajectory of my entire life? Yeah. Something, isn't it? The word of the Lord. Moses, look at Moses, not even in my notes, just came to me. Spends 40 years learning a culture. That spends 40 years running from a culture. All of a sudden, one moment, the word of the Lord came to him and spoke into existence the greatest years of his life. The word of the Lord is important. I remember when I was 14. And I began to lead worship. And my dad said, get up there and sing a song. And I thought, the first thought that came to me was, a 14-year-old worship leader that goes to public school on Monday morning gets harassed. And you might get harassed for the word of the Lord over your life. You might have people say, dude, you have lost your marbles. You went to church on a Thursday night? What? But you came because you believe there's a word for your life. You believe that you could walk into a building, you could walk into a moment, and all of a sudden God could drop manna from heaven and change the history of your life. You believe that. He says, I sewed up your voice box. He says, I know how you talk. He says, I know how you think. I know how you process information. I know your facial expressions. I know your attitude when you're tired. I know when you haven't had enough sleep. I know the way you think. I know the way you act. And still, there's a word of the Lord for you. The people who said you were crazy and nuts and you were imbalanced and what in the world is wrong with you? And God still has a word for you. It's amazing, isn't it? The word of the Lord came to him. And the word of the Lord will come to you. He sanctified you. He goes on to say this, not only called you, but sanctified you, separated you, set you apart for his good will. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing to me when people realize, see, growing up around church, everyone, you come to a certain age and you say, man, everybody wants to be the preacher? Really? You begin to appreciate the people that said, no, that's not my calling. This is my thing over here. And they sat in a calling. They sat in a God dream. And all of a sudden, they begin to have so much fruit in that thing that God's kingdom began to grow because they sat in that dream and heaven calling for their life. I'm speaking to me tonight. A 36-year-old man that submits himself and listens and watch. It's not easy, folks. I'm not a B or C or D personality, if you haven't figured that out yet. But God's calling for my life right now is right here. And I have to work to stay there. And you have to work to stay in your calling, whatever it is. Whatever God, if he's just called you to pray before Sunday morning service, just stay in that thing and work that thing. God has a calling. He's designed you in the designing room of heaven to do what he's called you to do, to fulfill his God dream for your life. You didn't make yourself. You didn't design you. You didn't create you. But you have a calling on your life. You didn't create it. You didn't decide it. You discovered it. Wow. Don't even try to create it. Don't even try to decide it. Just go ahead and discover it. Whether you're going to be a doctor, whether you're going to be a lawyer, whether you're going to be a preacher, whether you're going to be a janitor, whether you're going to work at a stone quarry, do it for the glory of God. Figure out what God has for you in that moment and work that thing. Wherever you are, God has a purpose, a plan for your life right where you are right now. A true purpose or dream from God will showcase your limitation. You might say tonight, Ryan, I have heard from the Lord what my calling is. I've heard from him. The problem is I don't have what it takes to accomplish it. You ever felt that way? I did about 10 minutes ago. A true calling, a true purpose, a true destiny, God destiny. You don't have what it takes to accomplish what he's calling you to. You know how many people over the last 30 years that I've watched come into church and God has laid such a calling on, such an anointing on their life, all for them to leave because they didn't have what they needed to do it in that moment. That's the whole point, though, church. If you didn't need him to do it, would it be a God dream? Would it be a God calling? Would it be a God destiny if you could just do it all on your own? Oh, I got this, man. It's a God dream when it showcases your limitation. Don't get discouraged. Don't get depressed. Don't get weary. Just engage in that conversation. Lord, I hear you're calling me to this thing, but I need you to help me now. I felt such an excitement when he called me to lead worship. Still feel it when I walk up here. I still feel God's glory in such a wonderful way. Don't we, Steve, when we're leading God's people in the world, man, what a feeling, what an excitement. God's dream, God's calling. Haven't found it in anything else, folks. I was so miserable. Until I begin to step in. And it's not easy. But he'll give you the strength to do it. The word of the Lord came to me. It came to Jeremiah. And tonight, if you'll let it, it'll come to you. Number one, the word of the Lord came to me. Number two, verse 8 says, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of them. That's one version. Don't be afraid of them. I love the version that says this. Don't be afraid of their faces. There's something powerful and significant when you get a hold of that verse and you aren't afraid of who God's called you to be anymore. Fear is gripping. I remember a particular time when I was probably your age. I remember every time Sunday would come, I would get anxiety attacks. We all know the difference between just being a little worried and all kinds of things happening in our bodies. Amen. And I was being tormented with fear and intimidation. And one day, my dad, believe it or not, he's preached about this before. I can remember it like it was yesterday. He began to say, you don't have to be afraid. We used to pray in a little room on, if you were there at the YWCA, when you'd walk in, there'd be a room right onto the right-hand side. We'd have prayer in there before service. And I remember sitting in a little wooden chair in that room, beginning to pray and just ask the Lord. And those words struck me over and over and over and over again. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of condescending looks. Don't be afraid of the mocks of the crowd. Don't be afraid of the rumors that they make. Don't be afraid of the smears that have come against you. Don't be afraid of the Facebook blogs or live videos that are sent to torment you. Don't be afraid of the coward that attacks you. Don't be afraid of the lies spread. Don't be afraid of their faces. Just let the word of the Lord set you free. That's why it's a powerful moment in the morning. I've woke up many times with a fear. And I go out into this back room and I'll open up my Bible, and 3 minutes later, I just feel such a confidence from heaven, such a peace from heaven. You have to relax. You have to let the word of the Lord germinate in you. Get up and do what God has called you to do, and don't worry about their faces. We were handing out food. And what we decided was we were going to give everybody one share of the boxes, right? We're going to give every car that came through one share of the boxes. Well, I figured if I stood up at the front of the line and just explained that to people right off, it would save a whole lot of frustration down the line. In the faces of people that you see, and there was a woman there helping that, we've known her for years, and she said, I don't know how you stay so happy when people can be so mean. The faces that they give you, man, they say 1,000 words. Yeah, they do. But I had just read this, and the scripture says, don't be afraid of their face. It's just a face. Can I tell you tonight? It's just a face. And they might not be mad at you because of what you told them. They might just be mad at their life. You ever met a person that's just miserable? Don't you feel bad? Don't you wish that they knew what you knew? Mom, don't feel bad. She does feel bad. He's just teasing. Sometimes people make faces and accusations because they're confused about what God wants them doing. Let me say that again. Sometimes people make faces and accusations because they're very confused about what God wants them doing. God doesn't want you making faces at people. God doesn't want us accusing people. God doesn't want us gossiping about people. How many of you know it's a chore to catch? Because your flesh says, you know so-and-so, you know what I'm saying. It might just be the lunch they had. Maybe the sandwich just stunk, right? My sandwich was great, honey. You could tell. No, not that sandwich, the sandwich she made me. There was two today, but anyway, it's not just. You don't know what they're going through. Can I tell you something tonight? I want to just free someone tonight. Don't be afraid of their faces. I've learned sometimes the people that have the most to say do the least. Let me say it one more time. Some people that have the most to say, well, you know, you should have done it this way. You know, you should have accomplished it this way. It's that funny? Yeah. You should have gone about it this way. You know, I never want to be a critic on people. God help us not to be critics. If we're not doing it, just shut up about it. If I'm not cleaning, I don't need to walk in here and, man, Sometimes the people that do the least say the most. God help us. Don't be afraid of their faces. Thank God we got a room full of doers tonight. It's a Thursday night. Amen. It's just a face. It's just a face. It's just an opinion. You know, let me just say this tonight. Last night I whispered to my dad, we were in a Bible study, and I said to him, I wanted to share about when I was about to be ordained. And I didn't share about it because it broke my heart. And I didn't want to cry in front of a bunch of guys, you know what I mean? Because I'm tougher than that. When I was about to be ordained, there were people that I thought loved me unconditionally that got in line to say, don't ordain him in this church. If I'd have listened to that, the men that know that are sitting here, you can ask him. We've had an explosion in our men's ministry. An absolute explosion. Think about this for a second. If I had not been a hardhead, amen, because I was a hardhead about it. If I had listened to those voices and looked at those faces, I wouldn't be standing here tonight, I'll tell you that. Because my first inclination was what? To run. But I think even bigger than being here tonight, last night, I see guys that are beginning to just know the Lord. They're lost. They don't have salvation. I think of those guys last night. They wouldn't be in my barn. They wouldn't be being taught by Wayne and Chuck. You can't pay attention to the faces. That's a word of the Lord for someone. Number one, you need a word of the Lord. Number two, don't be afraid of their faces. Number three, I love this. Therefore, it says, I will put forth my hand and touch your mouth. Verse 9. I want to read that again. Therefore, I will put forth my hand and touch your mouth. When God lays his hand on you in a time, in a season, in a moment, all of a sudden, the thing that was impossible for you to accomplish, all of a sudden is possible. Have you ever watched a person that kind of stood in the background? They were kind of quiet. They were the quiet kid. They were the quiet girl. They were the person that no one else wanted. No one else really paid attention to. They were the person that said, no, you shouldn't ordain them. They shouldn't be in leader. They shouldn't be a part of that thing. All of a sudden, God lays his hand. He lays his hand on a person, and all of a sudden, the thing starts to flourish like crazy. You ever saw that? He lays his hand on a person. When he touches you, he sanctifies you. When he touches you, he gifts you. I look up here. I look up on this stage tonight. I gotta say it. I gotta bring it up. Steve, when he walked into this church, he was scared. He was intimidated. And it's kind of funny. But it wasn't the type of intimidation that just as a little funny. It was a spirit of fear that was on him. And I had to drag him up onto this stage. I had to beg the guy. I had to bribe him in Jesus' name. I did, didn't I? But when God lays his hand, I can't tell you enough to just play the bass guitar on a Thursday night. Wow. God looks down from heaven. You got to be okay with being different. When God touches you, a uniqueness from heaven will come out. It's a distinction. Your identity is different from everyone else's. I'm not like my dad. We have similarities. Aaron's looking at me like, yeah, you are. You're like him. I'm not just like my dad. I have people say to me, you don't preach like your dad. I'm sorry. I'm not my dad. My name's Ryan. Nice to meet you. I'm uniquely gifted by God. I'm different. And so are you. You are unique. Let me say this to you tonight. Find out what you love to do. Forget the money. What if a brain surgeon made the same as a janitor? Just say, everybody, I'm just talking to you now. I'm not preaching to you. I'm just talking to you about this for a second. Kai, if a brain surgeon and a janitor made $10 an hour, and you love to be a janitor, don't become a brain surgeon. Please don't. Because I promise you, the money will last for a moment. It'll be cool for a while. It'll feel good for a little time. Then all of a sudden you'll wake up and go, man, I hate working on people's heads. I want to clean the floor. And you won't even care about the money at that point. I wish someone said more of this to me. And my dad said it to me, but I was like, Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. I needed more people talking to me about this. That's why I wanted to bring it up tonight. Find what you love to do and do it for the glory of God. What would you choose to do? Big dreams. Maybe sometimes you think it's a small task, but it's a God dream that he has. When he touches you, he'll anoint you to do something that no one else could do the way you do it. Number one, the word of the Lord came to him. Number two, don't be afraid of their faces. I'm not afraid of one of your faces tonight, just so you know. Yeah, maybe a couple. Number three, I will put forth my hand and touch your mouth. And lastly, and I'm done, the word of the Lord came to me again. And this is repeated through this scripture more than once. It says, what do you see? What do you see? Do you see what the enemy wants you to see? Oh, you can't do it. You can't accomplish it. Don't even try it. What do you see? Do you see God's purposes for your life? Here's a great way to see God's purposes for your life. Real quick, because I'm ending here. This is a great way to see it. If you want to be a pastor, you know who you get around? Great pastors. You want to do creative arts in the church? Get around Erin. She's great at it. You want to be a dancer? Get around Erin. You want to work with kids? My wife. Oh, I just stay back. You want to cook? Thank God, my wife. Get around someone who knows more about the topic than you do. What do you see? You'll become an expert if you listen to people who have experience in the field that you're in. And also, you got to get a book. You got to get a class. You got to be a master at what God's calling you to do. Number one, what was it? Get a word from the Lord. Number two, don't be afraid of their faces. Number three must not have been impressionable. God will touch you. He'll anoint you. And number four, You got to see someone else doing it. Don't try to go out and be a lone ranger. You know how many people gifted of God have come in here? Oh, I know Pastor Marty. He ain't doing nothing special. I'm going down the street. To go down the street and do nothing. 15 years later, I'm watching these people. They're not even going to church. And I could go on and on about that. Find someone who's doing what you want to do. I want you to do one more thing tonight. If you say, Ryan, I need God's calling, I need his purpose in a specific way in my life, I want you to stand right now. Father, you see each one, even the ones at home, even the ones at home that have raised their hand, they've stood, not to me, but they've stood before you in humility and meekness, and they said, God, I need a word. I need a word from you. I need help walking this thing out. In Jesus' name, I pray tonight, Father, that you'd bring hope from heaven. I rebuke discouragement. I rebuke depression. I rebuke a wandering spirit in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray tonight that you would plant us into your will, into your way, into your calling, and into your assignment. And we thank you for it tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you believe that you're receiving it, give the Lord a praise tonight. Come on, give him a praise. Want to come? I want you to know we believe in you. Those of you that are here, we believe in you. Those of you that are at home, we believe in you. And we want to help you. Our connect groups are designed. They are made by design to help you connect and to walk in the calling that God has for you. They're listed every Monday on our Facebook page. Check them out. Get involved. We love you. God bless you. This Sunday, 8:30, 10, 12 noon at St. Anthony's. You don't want to miss it. The word from heaven is coming in Jesus' name. Amen.